Technorama special interview with Grant Pachoco.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Say, I suspect this show's hosts are just puppets. Where is the puppet master hanging out?
Over there, in the media corner.
I knew it.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to Technorama. You are about to find out what lies in the vortex. And if you are returning, welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time once again. I am Chuck Tomasi, and joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am fantastic, yet again.
This is exciting. Very exciting.
Yes.
With us today is one of the most creative and talented people we have the privilege of knowing. Welcome
Thank
to the
you.
Show, the oh. one and only Toaster Boy, Grant Pachoco.
Hey.
Where to start? Where
Hello,
to start?
Guys.
There's How music, there's podcasts, there's puppeteering, so much fun. So let's start from the beginning, as any good story should. Tell us about yourself, for those who don't know.
Well, I was born on May 20th, 1974, and I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and have always been interested in performing. Even as a little kid, I had a little red tape recorder that I would record my own little shows into as a kid, and I still have that little red tape recorder.
Mm.
And was always a big fan of when I heard him for the first time, Weird Al. Like, became a huge fan of Weird Al, and then through Weird Al, I heard Dr. Demento.
Yep.
And then through Dr. Demento, I heard Stan Freberg and Tom Lehrer and all those guys. And Stan Freberg especially is a huge influence on me as well. So I've always, you know, kind of loved performing. Got a degree in theater at Cal State Long Beach. So, I like being creative and like making stuff.
That's what we missed, Craig, is the degree in theater. We were so close.
Right.
See,
oh,
I was going down the course syllabus thing and saying, what courses should I take? And I had my thumb on comedy. This is back when it was in print. And I scrolled across and I must have gotten into computer science. But
yeah,
which has been a comedy. So, but that's another story. Yeah. Hey, and don't forget, you were also in our Christmas stuff. You were Lucky the Reindeer.
Like 10 years
yes,
ago,
of
Craig.
Course.
Yeah. 10 years ago. And you were at a spot in our Geek Christmas Story.
Yep.
I want to say, one, thanks for jumping in, because anytime I've had something like that, you're always like, yeah, I'll jump right in and do it.
Yes.
And you killed the voice. Name.
Very.
Well, that's the thing. I love creating. I love doing fun stuff, and those are fun projects. So anytime.
What's your favorite right. part about it? Is it the creative part of, you know, writing? You had a lot of music in shows like The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. And is it the music? Is it the acting? Is it the puppetry? Is it what? The creating of those characters, what really charges you up?
It's a little bit, I mean, it's all of it. Talking back to Dr. Floyd, I loved writing on that show. I loved doing the voices on that show. I loved working with Doug to come up with, new storylines. And I loved, one of the things I loved about Dr. Floyd was being able to do the historical research as well. So it was all of it. And mm-hmm. you know, reading about a historical figure like George Washington or Galileo and thinking, how can we make this fun, and what's a fun take on it, you know, to do? And of course, that's all, I mentioned Stan Freberg before, like that's a huge Stan Freberg influence for his History of the United States, is kind of looking at these historical figures and, you know, putting a modern day sort of spin on them mm-hmm. and having fun that way. So I loved doing all of it. It was my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. And you've been, killing me, because I see them. You've been reposting them on your YouTube channel, Saturday Morning Media, and I go, oh, great. I listen to it, and I go, oh, sad. It's going still not around. But it lives
well. Hey, with enough Kickstarter, you can bring back any old project, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Maybe.
Well, it's been great. You know, it's I still, you know, because I, even though we're not making new episodes, I'm still, I put out a new, you know, I rebroadcast, I guess, an episode every week on the podcast feed. And, you know, I got an email the other day, my, you know, from a mom in Hawaii, and she goes, my kids just found your show. They love it. You know, can we get Secret Dakota rings and all that kind of stuff? And so I send out, you know, I probably send out Secret Dakota rings, a couple Secret Dakota rings like every month.
You know, still have them. You're still doing that.
We're getting close to the bottom. We're almost done with that big bag of them. But
supplies are limited.
Yeah.
I think so. I can still got mine floating around here somewhere.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, just turn off the lights because they glow in the dark. You'll be able to find it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's made with real radium.
<That's right. laughs> So I was looking through. I have not pulled you up on IMDb before, but I was looking at it, and I noticed that I did not realize that you were doing some stuff on Cinematic Titanic, which we're going to get to MST3K and all that later. But what all were you doing on Cinematic Titanic?
Well, you know, this the whole story comes from Joel Hodgson, the creator of Mystery Science Theater and mm-hmm. the creator of Cinematic Titanic, being on the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. He was on the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd, and that's the first time I had met him. I met him through a mutual friend we had. And he was so great, and of course I've been a fan for forever. And he asked me if I could do some audio stuff for him, just because he knew that I edited all this audio for Dr. Floyd, and I did. And then he asked me to actually, this was the coolest thing. He was like, "Do you know how we could find or get the ambient sound of the Satellite of Love, because we need it for this DVD release." Because we're filming a new little thing for it. I don't have those sound effects. And so I found a way. I ripped it off of one of the old DVDs of an old episode where there wasn't anything going on in the Satellite of Love. And it was just like this kind of hum in the background.
Yeah,
and
there's certain scenes where, you know, there's nothing going on for like 10 seconds.
Right. So I was able to get enough of that to just loop it. And he was impressed with that. And then, you know, that's how we just kind of knew each other. And, you know, he trusted me to work on stuff. And then shortly right after that, he announced Cinematic Titanic. And I wrote to him and I just said, what can I do? I will sweep the floors. I will, you know, get coffee. I would just love to work with you guys. And he said, he goes, actually, we have a job. And Frank did it for our first movie. And he said he never wanted to do it again. So we'll give it to you. And I was like, okay. But basically what I did was I would have to watch these old movies second by second and type out a script because these movies, you know, you generally can't find a script for these films because they're so old.
Mm-hmm.
And they need a script in order to slot their jokes into so they can see, you know, does this joke come before or after the line or whatever. So not only would I have to go through and do dialogue, I would have to do something like, the monster crosses the room. He bashes down the door. He says, "Rawr!" You know, whatever.
Edzik, I have to do that. Edzik stage left.
Yeah. So I think they did like 15 films. And so each one of those films, except for the first one, I had to watch frame by frame pretty much.
How long did a movie take to do to transcribe like that? I'm guessing it would have had. I was going to say, I was going to say upward of 15, but yeah, that's a lot of effort.
So they made you they made you like a court stenographer?
Pretty much. That's what I was. My official title was associate producer, which was very nice. But you know, and then I was in one episode too. Like there was one quick episode where they needed these soldiers to come running in silhouette, and so I was one of the soldiers. But you know, that was I did it for a long time, and then when this new Mystery Science Theater, they started production on it. They were like, "Hey, Grant." And I was like, "I'm done. I can't. Thank you. It's, you know, it's been wonderful." But, they found somebody else, who, you know, I have the utmost respect for doing it.
Yeah, of course you would. It's a hard job. Yeah. But, now you've compiled a lot of projects into your Saturday morning media site. There's the, Country Bear Collector Show, there's Uncle Interloper, and many of these are video, not just audio. In fact, are you doing any audio only? Well, you've got the Grant Cast, right?
I do. Yeah, I got the Grand Cast. I started a new one just recently called Under the Puppet, which is interviews with professional puppeteers.
I like the title, by the way.
Thank you. And that's more of like a sort of like a technical podcast, because it's about the business of puppetry as okay. opposed to just being a fan cast. Of course, I'm a fan of puppetry as well. But and then I have a show called Attraction Checklist, which is about Disney.
That one's audio, right?
That one's audio.
There's no video for that.
And Under the Puppet is audio as well. Mm-hmm. And I still, every once in a while, I still do, like just recently, I put out 5 episodes of a show called The Mysterious Mysteries of Toby Taylor, the Fruit Magician.
Yes.
Which that's more like Dr. Floyd, where it's an audio drama type things. And so, you know, kind of ever since we haven't been producing Dr. Floyd, I'm still a fan of the genre of audio drama and that kind of thing. So I put out, you know, it's just kind of like when I can find time to work on it, I will work on a couple of episodes, put them all out as one. I did a series called The Tales of Deputy Guppy, which was an underwater Western. So they're all fish.
Yeah.
underwater.
That's awesome.
And I put those out, you know, just when I have them done. And it's also kind of a fun way. Because after Dr. Floyd ended, I was a little bit like, oh, I want to try writing in a Western. I want to try writing in a mystery. I want to try writing in a superhero spoof. And so Saturday Morning Media, or Saturday Morning Theater, which is the name of the podcast that those come out on, is just sort of like a playground, like a testing ground where I can test things out.
Fun. Tell me about the ultimate nerdament with Stanley and Jax. Where did that take place?
I love those things.
Yeah, that was... a friend of mine, a guy who worked for Stan Lee, and he approached me and he said, well, Stan Lee has a YouTube channel and they're looking for content, and you will not get paid for the content you make and put on there, but you will get, you'll have Stan Lee's name and Stan Lee behind you putting this content, and of course they have to approve it and stuff, but
sure.
And then they said, the other thing that was a real great selling point was you get to keep all the rights to your characters. It's not like you're creating something for us or anything like that.
Nice.
So
okay. That's important.
I got together with my friend Russ Walco, who's an amazing puppeteer and he's an amazing puppet builder. And we kind of came up with this idea for a show. And the show is this, it's two puppets, a boy and his robot. And they go to science fiction and, fantasy conventions and stuff like that. And they have what's called the ultimate nerdament. So the first one, it's like a March Madness tournament based around a theme. So the first one was like, which superpower would you rather have? Invulnerability or invisibility? And then they ask all these questions to people. And then
regular con-goers, right? They're just people on the street. They have no idea. They're just, this is completely ad lib.
Yep. It's all improvised. Brilliant. And then we just, we cut it down and, we film over 3 days usually, and then we cut it down into these little like 2 minute, 30 second segments. And each one is like a different matchup. So the first one we did was all superpowers. And then we did, which Avenger would you rather be? So it was, cause it was right around, Age of Ultron came out.
There was a Star Wars one.
Yeah. And then the third one was, which Star Wars character would you rather be? And that was right before, Force Awakens came out. And we haven't done one. We haven't done one in a year, but we're bouncing around different ideas because Stan Lee's YouTube channel kind of went away. So now that I'm re-pushing the episodes back up on the Saturday Morning Media site, I was like, okay, let's come up with some. Either go do another one. Like there's a convention that's actually, I think it's happening this weekend. But there's a convention out here called Monster Palooza, and it's all like horror and. Horror films and monsters and monster movies and stuff like that. And I was like, we should go do one there. That's like, which monster would you rather be? Would you rather be a vampire or a werewolf? Would you rather be a zombie or, and do a nerdament like that? So we've got some ideas on future ones, but for right now, people can see all of the ones we did for Stan Lee's channel are all on the internet.
Yeah. Craig,
you're kind of blipping in and out. I think you lost.
I'm blipping in. Out.
His bandwidth disappeared.
Is that any better?
That's better.
Bandwidth disappeared. Okay, I was going to say you should bring that to DragonCon.
We would absolutely love it to bring it to DragonCon because there's a whole puppetry track and everything. We would love to bring it there. Yeah. Well,
Phoenix Comic Con's coming up. End of May, Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. Now, y'all were doing some videos, but it looked like you had special guests on there. I saw Stan Lee, of course. So
yeah, as part of doing that, we have a kind of a sideshow called Conversations.
That was
it. Yeah. We would because we were fortunate enough to be on Stan Lee's YouTube channel, we kind of had Stan Lee's people who were helping us out, and they'd be like, okay, well, we go to one of these conventions, and they go, okay, which celebrity would you like to talk to? Because we'll bring them over and we'll just say it's for Stan Lee's YouTube channel. And we said, any celebrity you want to bring over.
We're not picky. So,
yeah, we got to do the coolest. I mean, they were all very, very cool. And we had a lot of fun. But I mean, meeting Stan Lee, having him on this show, and he just came over, like there was no explaining or whatever. He came over, he just started talking to the puppets. He was so into it. And soon as we were, we talked to him for like 3 minutes. And then as soon as we were done, they whisked him away because he had to go to something else. And I look over, we put the puppets down and I look over to Russ and I go, well, it would have been nice to shake his hand. We didn't even get to meet him.
Or get like, a picture with him. Hands.
Yeah. He met our puppets, but he did not meet us.
I'm not going to wash this puppet for the rest of my life.
Exactly. Exactly. And of course, it's the two characters' names are Stanley and Jax, and their tribute, Stanley is Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And Jax is for Jack Kirby. So,
I got
little
you.
Tributes to them. So we're hoping to do, one of my ideas is to do sort of a, there's that show, what is it? Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
Guy Fieri goes around. Is we would do the same thing, but we would go to comic book stores. And so we would see what's cool about different comic book stores and why, so that's one of the ideas that we have for those characters.
Interesting.
Oh yeah. That would be cool. You got to do that. That's awesome.
Yeah. You have a gaming room. What's the gaming room? That kind of thing.
So I can't roll my dice with these cubed hands.
I got large print foam dice for my
there
birthday.
There you go. The puppets can rule. Yeah. Can work those.
Yeah. These, hey, there might be a puppet character in there.
Yeah.
If you stack your D4 and your D8 just right.
Get a pair of googly eyes.
Yeah.
That's all you need. And some talent.
Yeah, that's about the budget we have here at Technorama. For some googly eyes. So who, I'm going to ask you, who was Toilet Tea Paper?
Toilet Tea Paper is another puppet character I have. He, unlike most of my other projects, is not really family friendly. He's more for adults because he gets a little saucy and stuff. But
he talks crap.
He does. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Which is actually funny. We mentioned googly eyes. That's how he started. Was I was in Austin, Texas, puppeteering on a show, and I had to share a hotel room with the show's keyboard player, the show's musician. And as a joke, in most hotel rooms, they'll have extra rolls of toilet paper.
Yes.
So I took one and I put two googly eyes on it and I just left it on his bed. And he would come in and go, what is this? Get this off of here. And then me being a puppeteer, I started talking as the character and I was like, oh, come on, John. Why don't you like me? I'm toily. So
I'm so
after
soft
that week,
and fluffy.
That's right.
Come on, John. Your face.
After that week of being together, he lives out in Florida, but I would call and leave him messages as Toily, telling him all the wonderful things he's doing in Hollywood. I had this wonderful audition and they want me in their movie. And then he just became this thing where I would just leave him these crazy messages. And then John came up with the idea of like, what if we did a show for, cause he lives in Orlando for the Orlando Fringe Festival. He goes, what if we did a show based around Toily? And that's what it became. And, so I had my friend Russ, who I mentioned earlier, make a puppet of Toily. And, so Toily, we did a show last year at the Orlando Fringe and the Hollywood Fringe, and it was a sellout in both places and cool. People loved it. And, so now I just kind of do these little web videos with Toily, but, there's something there with Toily. I don't know what it is. It would be funny if like out of all this kids stuff, kid friendly stuff, that it's kind of more my forte that I've created. If Toily is the one that is the big breakout star.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, everybody can relate to him.
Yeah, exactly. He's a household name.
That's right.
Are you allowed to happen about what happened on America's Got Talent? Are you allowed to talk about that?
I am not allowed to talk about that. So somebody came to the Hollywood show and they saw Toilie and they said, we would love Toilie on America's Got Talent.
Really?
So I cannot, until that show starts airing, I will see with everybody else what happened.
Okay.
You were on, you went there and did the thing.
Yes. Yeah, we did film stuff. I cannot talk about it though.
Right. Okay.
Gotcha.
So
but I'm going to have to watch the show now.
Yeah, me too.
We're also going to talk about things you can't talk about Mystery right. Science Theater 3000, which is airing on Netflix on April 14th. We're recording this on April 8th and very excited about the timing of that. Thank you very much for showing up on short notice our interview. But how did you get involved? We mentioned Joel Hodgson before, the originator, creator of that. How did you get involved with this incarnation of that? And what is your role there?
Well, it was the same story as I knew Joel from Cinematic Titanic. And then I do a show with the Jim Henson Company called Puppet Up Uncensored. And we were on tour going through Pennsylvania. And Joel lives out in Pennsylvania now. And he said, I mismessaged him. And I said, hey, we're going to come. We're doing a show near Philadelphia. If you want to come, let me know. And he came to the show. And so he saw me puppeteer in the show, so he knew I did puppets. And then it was probably like 2 years later or something like that. He was out here and he was like, hey, do you want to grab coffee? And I said, yeah. And then he said, you know, we're thinking about this was actually like 5 years ago. So it shows you like how long this was, maybe not five, but it was a while ago. And he said, you know, we're thinking about bringing Mystery Science Theater back. Would you want a puppeteer on the show?
Oh,
and like, and my story of always telling this is, we were, he was staying at a hotel out here. And I went to meet him at his hotel and there was a Starbucks across the street. And he goes, well, let's walk across the street. So he's talking to me as we're walking through the hotel parking lot. And then it's Ventura Boulevard, which is a big 4-lane main street out here in Hollywood. Or out in Studio City, North Hollywood area, and we get to the curb because we're going to cross the street, and we're not at a crosswalk or anything like that. We're just mid street, this busy 4-lane, two lanes either direction way, and he goes, so we're thinking about bringing Mystery Science Theater back. Would you want a puppeteer on that? Let's go! And then he just runs across the street, and I was like, you gotta give me a second to process that information.
I need a decision now. Time moves. <Yeah. laughs>
And if you survive crossing the street,
that's your interview.
On this show. Yeah. Good luck.
So we get to the other side and I went, yes, I'll do it. So we puppeteered my friend Russ and I, because I looped Russ in, puppeteered on the Turkey Day special, which I think was 2014.
Yeah, I think I remember you tweeting or something about that. Or no, Facebook or something. Yeah.
I don't know if that's exactly.
It was two years ago this past Thanksgiving. So that was about right.
So I looped my friend Russ in and we did the puppetry for that special. And then we just kind of came the new puppeteers, and we were, you know, very, very fortunate and very lucky to do that. And then when the Kickstarter was happening, I pledged because I'm a huge fan and I wanted to see it happen, even though I was like, I think I might be working on this, but I still want to. Still want to see it happen, even if I don't work on it, you know.
Yeah.
So
you actually paid for your own job.
That's right. That's right. I paid myself. And I pledged pretty high too. So, but anyway, it was, it was, and then when the show went into production, you know, he was like, would you like to be involved? And, and we're like, yeah, and let's assemble it. Had Russ and I assemble a team of puppeteers, and Russ did, just knocked himself out making, puppet props and modifications to the new robots and stuff like that. And, it's been a lot of fun, and we shot 14 2-hour episodes over 12 days.
Wow.
So it was a little bit of a blur.
Yeah.
you know, of everything we did, but it was a lot of fun. And, you know, I got to go recently. They showed for the Kickstarter backers, they showed the first episode to groups of Kickstarter backers in New York and Chicago and LA. And, they wanted the robots to be there. So we got to go along with them. And, it was a lot of fun, but it was so funny because we were sitting there before the first showing in New York and Joel was kind of up at the top talking, about the show. And he said, so the first host segment you see, it's the hardest host segment we shot. And because we really wanted to put Jonah into the fire right away. And it's this, you know, this hardest one was the first one we shot. And I lean over to Baron, who does the voice of Tom Servo, and I go, what was the first one? I don't remember. Because it was all so packed together. Like I had no, you know, I don't remember what we did. And then he leaned over and goes, oh, it was this. And I go, oh, yeah, okay, okay. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, we're good.
So, but it was a lot of fun, and I can't, I can't talk too much about it. But Joel asked if Russ and I would puppeteer new robot characters on the show.
Really?
Cool. So we did, and they're just minor; they're not huge. Without saying too much, but that was just awesome, you know, to become part of that. And and I am a fan. You know, I discovered the show in the early 90s.
Yep.
And when I was in college, my brother would, I would pay my brother to videotape the show and send it to me on VHS away at college because I didn't have any cable.
Yeah.
And I was, when Joel was talking about some of the things, like, you know, some of the things that, the reason he wanted puppeteers on the show was so the puppets could move more. So Crow and Tom could move and articulate more and do more things. And I was a little bit like, at first I was like, oh, I don't know. The robots aren't supposed to move. That's the whole
fun. They've got their own
you know,
character charm. That way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their limit is their character.
Looking at, like, seeing this, like when we were shooting the stuff and we would watch playbacks and stuff, I go, this is awesome. This is great. Like, this is, it's totally natural. It's not like this big shock of, oh my gosh, the puppets are moving way more than they are. It's just, it adds more expression to them. And it's a lot of fun. And I know people are worried about that. But to me, who I always try to say, it's like, I've been a fan forever.
Yep.
And I know your concerns, but I think once you see it, you're going to really enjoy it. And I think you're not even going to notice the movement. It's going to be so, you know, natural. It's not going to be a thing where it's like,
yep,
I don't like the way his arms are moving. You know, it's like, you're not even going to notice it. Yeah, he's not.
Right.
It doesn't take away. It only adds to what he's doing. And Joel has said this too. It's where he's using technology where if they had this back at the start of the show, if they had more puppeteers, you know, to help puppeteer the robots, they would have done it.
Mind you, just call me 30 years ago.
Right. Well,
yeah. That's right.
But you know, I think people are really going to like it.
Now, you did the puppeteering. So, traditionally, was it the same person doing the voice and the puppeteering?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so they were just moving the mouth or whatever. And how challenging was that to segregate the puppeteering from the voiceover?
It's not. It's pretty natural, especially for the puppeteers. And if you've been doing puppeteering for a long time, when you think like shows like Crank Yankers. Other shows like that, it's a celebrity's voice and a puppeteer is puppeteering to the voice. Those are done with tracks. This is not how Mystery Science Theater was done.
Right.
That was all done live, but in the world of puppetry, it's not some totally out of the blue thing to separate them like that. But the way that we did it on Mystery Science Theater is Hampton and Baron, who are the voices of Crow and Tom Servo, they had RC units that would control the mouths. They're listed as puppeteers on the show because technically they are puppeteering. They're puppeteering the mouths. And then we are just I'm controlling the head, the eyes, and the body of Crow. And then Carla Rudy, who's another amazing puppeteer, is doing the hand movements. She's working both the hands. So it's all three of us really working together to create one performance.
But and y'all
that's
are doing
a lot of stuff like the old TV show Dinosaurs, you know, the Henson show Dinosaurs. There was somebody in the suit. There was somebody controlling the facial features of the character. And then there was somebody doing the voice. So it's how it's done. You know,
I was gonna say, I bet it looks like y'all playing Twister behind the scenes.
It's fun. Once the show comes out, I think I'm going to do an article for some articles for the Mystery Science Theater website on the puppetry aspects of it.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, do you have some pictures and stuff? And it's like, we took a bunch of pictures to show how people were moving and crouching, you know, under the desk around Jonah's feet. You know, so I hopefully when once the show is out, I'll be able to put more of those kind of photos out.
I was talking with I wasn't talking with him. Frank Oz came to a convention one time a few years ago, and he was the keynote speaker talking about how Yoda was done that way, because you'd have somebody doing the left arm and somebody else doing the right arm and the head. Yep. So you get these two people that are sort of intertwined behind the scenes, and they have to make this flow as one seamless thing. Now, Frank was also doing the voice, which sort of takes that third element out, or right, you know, makes it a little more controllable. But that just amazed me when you go back and look at these movies. You know, he said, you try getting him to, you know, walk like an old man with his cane when you've got two people, one on the right arm, yeah, and one on the left arm. And that just amazes me that you can pull that off so seamlessly. Is there some rehearsal? I mean, obviously you guys have to work together. Are you practicing beforehand? How does that trio come into concert?
Yeah, well, it is rehearsed. I mean, it's doing it. It's practicing with it. We didn't have a lot of time to practice on Mystery Science Theater, just because the schedule was so short. But that's why we kind of brought in professional puppeteers, because you know, Carla Rudy's been puppeteering forever. She puppeteered on the Beck tour when Beck was doing marionettes on his tour, so mm-hmm. she went out mm-hmm. on the road with him, and she's an amazing puppeteer. Tim Blaney took over the puppeteering for Gypsy in the new series, and Tim Blaney is Johnny Five from Short Circuit. Wow. Tim Blaney is. Yeah. You know, he was Frank the Pug on Men in Black. He has done tons of puppeteering.
Really? Wow.
He was kind of our veteran guy. You know, it's like, well, how should we do this? And Tim would always know, like, we should do it this way, you know.
You're in good company.
And then Eric Kuska is another amazing puppeteer who, you know, has done tons of stuff as well. And Russ, as I said, Russ has worked with the Muppets. Russ is the puppet version of the puppet episode of Community that they did. Russ was on that. You know, so Russ is an amazing puppeteer as well. So we had top level puppeteers on the, and then me, top level puppeteers there, who were, you know, and we've all kind of worked together too. That was the other thing, is we've all kind of worked together and we knew we could trust each other. And it's just kind of it's hard to explain, but it's a thing you get into when you're moving and you're listening to the lines and how the lines are going, and you think, yeah, how would I react? Oh, we go like this, you know, and we're good at following each other's leads, you know, or if, you know, I start leaning over towards Jonah, you know, Carla will reach an arm out, you know, because she knows, oh, I'm going for something, you know.
Or, right. Okay.
Any good outtakes where that didn't work?
You know what, the rehearsal schedule is funny because there was just an article that came out in the New York Times, and Jonah had a quote where it said that oftentimes he would want to do a takeover, and they would go, no, because the robots were perfect, so we're not going to do a takeover. You know, like he was like, oh, well, I kind of flubbed that line. Nope, the robots were perfect. We're going to keep moving on. So not to say that's we did it perfectly. It's just that if that happens, you don't want to risk it by trying to do it again and messing somebody's head comes into the frame or something
right,
like that.
Right.
There was this one shot, which I don't want to say too much about, but this one shot that it was very physical with the robots. And it required a lot of pre-planning, and there was a lot of like moving pieces. And if we didn't get it right, it would take about 30 minutes to completely reset and do it again.
Oh.
And we could not, the rehearsal schedule was so tight, we could not do that. So like we kind of rehearsed it without going full out. Mm-hmm. And once this is out, I can tell you what scene it is. Although I think if you watch all the episodes, it'll be pretty clear.
There's going to be lots of things moving around at the same time.
It's pretty crazy. And I'm happy to say that we got through it with pretty, you know, in one take, and we did it, and everyone said it looked great. And there was one little thing that I heard that they kind of had to tweak digitally afterwards, but for the most part, it was all just, you know, great. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. So, and that scene was, because Jonah is standing up at the desk There was Carla and I. There was Russ. There was Eric. And then I think there were three other prop people underneath as well. So there was all those people in that little puppet trench.
Choreography going.
Yeah.
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 Craig, sound like any of the demos we've done?
I know.
If it don't get it right, it's going to take 30 minutes to reset.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what, as like us recording our show and realizing we didn't hit record. And redo it.
Yeah. So where did the name Toaster Boy and the whole throwing toasters thing come from?
Well, that was back when I was doing more comedy music than I still do comedy music, but where that was the main focus. And I originally started writing and recording funny sketches and songs under the name Headhunter Country because I was a Jungle Cruise skipper on the Jungle Cruise at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And just Headhunter Country to me sounded like the fun name for a band. And then I just got a couple people commented on the name, and there were some people who were saying things about the name where maybe it was not the most politically correct name and things like that. And I was like, well, I don't see it that way, but enough people have commented like that, so I'm going to try and come up with a different name. So at that point, I was just listening to things that people said in casual conversation that sounded like names of bands. And I was an RA, a resident assistant at the dorms at Cal State Long Beach during my senior year. And at this one meeting with all the other RAs, this guy was talking about these two roommates who were having a fight. And our coordinator said, well, how bad is it? And the RA said, well, it's not so bad that they're throwing toasters, but it's pretty bad. And I was like, oh, throwing toasters. I like that. That's a great name for a band. And I wrote that down, and then that became the name of it. And then Toaster Boy just came out of that because in the comedy world, nobody really knew my name. They just knew me as throwing toasters. And so they're like, oh, yeah, that Toaster Boy, whatever, you know. I'm wondering if I should change it to Toaster Man now that I'm 40 years old.
No.
But still Toaster Boy.
Yeah.
You're married. Hey. You're a Toaster Man.
Yes, I'm a Toaster Man.
Hey, by the way, I going back to your IMDb stuff, I asked her, looked at her, I noticed the first thing that you appeared in was you were an extra in Armageddon.
That's right. I was.
I don't remember seeing you. No,
No, you know what? And I thought it would be featured more. You probably can see me, but what happens is during the closing credits of Armageddon, they show like all these, you know, what happened after the movie ended type things.
Yeah.
And Liv Tyler's character gets married.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just a guest at the wedding of when she got married. And like there's a scene, and I think they show it, but it's as the credits are rolling and it's really small on the side. So you can't, you'd really have, I mean, I should look now and see if with digital tech, you know, like what is
4K.
It on CSI, you know, make it bigger. But when they come out of the church, people are throwing rice, and I'm standing right next to Liv Tyler throwing rice.
Okay.
So
I'm going to go look.
Yeah.
It says, it should say in the credit, Wedding Crasher, Grandpa. Yeah. Wedding, Wedding Crasher number 23.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was, you know, 60 people there that day. So, but I was like, no, that's a credit. I'm going to put it on the list.
Put it on your resume.
Yep.
What projects do you have on the horizon that we can look forward to?
Well, I...
Season 13 of...
No. Hey, let's hope. I'm hoping. I'm right there with it.
Get your credit card out.
It would actually be season 12, technically. It depends on if you count that first KTMA season. But yeah, the next season of Mystery Science Theater, hopefully, if that happens, and Joel asks us back, that we didn't do too bad a job on the first one, that he wants us back.
Yeah.
I also, at the very end of last year, was very fortunate enough to be asked to puppeteer on Wet Hot American Summer 10 Years Later, which is...
Oh, my gosh. And, that's coming up. That's coming up soon, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. If you're familiar with the show, there's a talking can of vegetables.
Yes.
And I puppeteered the talking can of vegetables.
Wait, you did that on the last one?
No, not on the last one, on this one.
Okay, on this one. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. It's the same production company who did... Mystery Science Theater is producing Wet Hot American Summer, and The same person, Caroline, this woman who did the props on Mystery Science Theater, is doing props for Wet Hot American Summer. Okay. And but right after Mystery Science Theater, they started Wet Hot American Summer, and they told her, oh, well, you'll have to puppeteer the can of vegetables in all these scenes, because that's the way they've always done it, was it was a prop person just pulling a little string on a can of vegetables. Mm-hmm. And she goes, Caroline, God bless her, said to the production company, we just worked with five amazing puppeteers. Why don't we have a puppeteer puppeteer the can of vegetables?
Yeah.
And they liked that idea. And she goes, I know that that Grant currently doesn't have a job that he's working on after Mystery Science Theater. Why don't you call him? And they called me. And so that was amazing. Like, I don't think this would technically be a spoiler, but there was one day where, you know, it was me, Christopher Pine, Jason Schwartzman, and somebody else. I'm blanking on the name. I'm totally blanking on his name. Oh my gosh. But it was like all three of us just, and you know, it was like, there was just scenes with us, you know, and it's like, this, how am I here? Like, this is crazy. Yeah. With this silly can of vegetables, you know? But it was great. And Jason Schwartzman, super nice guy, and was just like, he just constantly was like, so what other puppets have you done? And da, da, da. And I brought a regular, you know, kind of Muppet style puppet to the set one day. And he was just like, oh, this is so awesome. This is so great.
Right.
It was a lot of fun.
Very cool. There's so many puns that are trying to formulate in my head around vegetables. Well, hey, we'll come out with those.
I'm very excited for that show to air too, because there was some interesting thing, because it is just a can of vegetables and it doesn't really move that much, but there were some fun puppetry moments that I'm looking forward to talking about when the show comes out, because to say anything about them would kind of be a spoiler.
Sure.
Ish, and I don't want to do that, but
I wouldn't.
But yeah, I'm very excited to see how that one comes. And there was actually at the cast party, they showed a clip. they just showed like all these kind of funny clips from the shooting of the thing, and one of the clips was a clip of the can of vegetables, and of course H. John Benjamin, who voices Archer and he voices Bob's on Bob's.
Yeah, he's on the thing. Mm-hmm.
He's the voice of the can of vegetables. You know, I just puppeteer it, and this one clip that they showed, it was still my voice. Huh. I was like, oh, I gotta get a clip of that. You know, I wish I could have a copy of that, because that's so great.
Kind of like listening to David Prowse as Darth Vader. Doesn't right, really work.
Yeah. It works for father. Me.
Yeah.
It works you are a rebel and a traitor. No.
Hi, I'm a can of vegetables.
You've got lots of character voices. Where do these come from? How are you inspired?
Going back to Stan Freberg and all the voices that he did and Doss Butler and
yep.
boy, all these, you know, I'm a huge Rocky and Bullwinkle fan. So like all those voices, and it's just doing, you know, coming up with the voice. And I was very grateful for this new character on Mystery Science Theater. I went to Joel and I said, what kind of voice would you like? And Joel was like, hey man, I trust you. Just do whatever voice you want.
Yeah. He's all laid back. And whatever.
Yeah, you just do whatever for, and I was like, okay. So I kind of looked at the character and I looked at the voice and I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So, and I don't want to say too much about that process until it comes out, but you know, and
all,
so far,
hey, you're all taking it real deep and serious. He's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, just do, he's like, I trust you. He's like, I trust you. You do whatever you
little
want.
Direction, boss.
Yeah.
I'm one of those projects. Be like, oh, why did he pick that voice? Oh my gosh. You know,
I'm sorry, Grant, that just doesn't work.
I'm
in one of those projects right now. My boss's boss says, here, I want you to go build this. I'm like, what do you want me to build? Well, just, I trust you on this. I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah.
It's only going to, and you have to have it done by our big conference in May for 15,000 people.
Yeah.
That's it. Right. That's exactly the same. That's it.
Hey Chuck, we'll just have Grant come out and puppeteer the project.
A success all around. Nothing can go wrong for Grant. Well, where can people find out more about you, Grant?
Well, my personal website that I try to keep updated with all the latest projects I'm working on is MrGrant.com. So MRGRANT.com. And then all my sort of creative projects I put up at SaturdayMorningMedia.com. So all my podcasts that I produce are out over there, except for Toily, And Toily is just at thetoily.com just because he's not family friendly. So I don't feel right mixing him in.
Sure.
But all my podcasts you can find at SaturdayMorningMedia.com.
Thank you very much for joining us. It has been a real treat. We wish you all the best. It's been fun knowing you. We got to know you through podcasting.
That's right. The power of podcasting.
That's what it's all about, people.
People like to grow up, Grant.
I was on Dr. Floyd once as a Foley artist. Still my script.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Thank you very much for joining us, dear listener. Yes, Craig?
Hey, I was going to say, Grant, it's been nice watching you grow up.
Oh, thank you. To go from my 30s to my 40s, you have been there every that's step right. of the way.
Behind you all the way, buddy.
That's right.
Thanks, guys. It's always a great pleasure to talk to you guys, and I'm a big fan myself, so thank you, guys.
And thank you for supporting. You're one of our Patreon members.
Woo-hoo! That's proudly.
Yeah, we won't charge you for this episode.
You guys are the best.
Craig, give us a binary high five, and we're out of here.
101.
Complete with audio dropouts.